Because yesterday, after I left doing the food pantry and everything like that, I was doing my rounds in the hospital. And I went to visit Mother Armstead. And she's 98 years old. She's 98 years old. And I was trying to remember her name, and she called the name for me. She's still in her right mind. She still has all her faculties. And she will call out a name and say, "How's Minister Walker doing? How's Sister Span, your sister, doing?" She wants to know, how's the church doing? So even though she's in the hospital, she thanks the Lord for 98 years. Amen. And I went to see Bishop Morrison. And Bishop, you know, he don't like you to know his age, but I know he's 80 on the other side of 85. But he don't like you to know his age. But he's in his late 80s, and he had a stroke. But they told me that between Thursday morning and where he is now, it's like a miracle. It's a miracle. And I looked at him, and he didn't have it all there, but he was there. I've seen people who've had strokes, but what the remarkable recovery he's made in the last 3 days, the doctors have already said, well, he's going to be doing good. He's going to be fine. 80 on the latter half of 85, the other side of that. And then I went to visit Sister Kathy with Mother Cora Ashley, 100 years old. 100 years old. God willing, in a couple of days, she's going to be 101. She's going to be 101. I wasn't even a speck in nobody's eye 101 years ago. 101. And the reason why I'm saying that is because we don't really think about how God blesses us with time and age and the whatever he decides to bless us with. Because on Wednesday, I'll be going to a funeral in Philadelphia because Brother Purdy Thames lost his daughter. She's in her 40s. And on Friday, God will, I'll be on my way to Delaware because Sister Thickman's grandson lost his significant other. And she's in her 30s, maybe 30. How do we figure this out? We can't. How does somebody get to be 100 and somebody don't make it to 30? How does somebody get to be 98 and somebody don't make it to 45? It's all in God's plan. Because we can't explain it. But we all must know that God and his wisdom knows it all. And he knows exactly what it is that we must go through. So when we sit here and we don't want to worship, come on, somebody. When we sit here and we don't want to worship, this thing called life is a gift. I was told a gift isn't a gift until it's given. And that gift is given to us each and every day. Don't waste your time because you don't know how much time you have. Amen? I'll be going to a memorial service in New York after I leave church for Bishop, the late Bishop E.L. Jones. He died at age 97. Contemporary of our dad. He was the overseer of the state of New York. Back then, New York had its own overseer. It wasn't New York and Connecticut and Rhode Island and Massachusetts. It wasn't all of that. They had their own overseer. We grew up with him and his family, his children. They're our ages. Amen. But 97. All 97 years wasn't great, but it was still 97. What is your age going to be? How much time you got left? How much time do we have left? We don't know. We're so worried about everything else that's going on all around us. The trees, getting gifts. Is that how we want to spend our time? My message today is they slept through it. They slept through it. You know, we're living in a time right now that people are sleeping right through what is going on in the world. You see global warming, you see things happening, amen? And you got people that are in charge saying it's not really happening. All of these hurricanes that are happening in places that they never happened before. They're saying, no, this is really, it's fake news. It's really not happening, it's fake news. But it's happening. There's places, there's islands of people where they were once safe and remote. They're going to be overcome with waters and stuff like that because the ice is melting up in the Arctic and in the Antarctic. Those things are melting. And all it takes is 2 little degrees to change everything in this world. Not 100, not 50, not 10, just 2. Some people think that things happened when they had that big tsunami a few years ago where the earth just moved a little degree off of its axis and it changed everything. But isn't that just like God that he made things? When he makes things, he makes them perfect. So perfect that if it moves a little bit, that things happen, catastrophes. But he's so perfect in everything that he's done, even you and I. Are perfect. You don't know how much that pinky does until you hurt it. You can't pick up something. You can't hold something. You can't hit nobody. Right? You can't do that because that little pinky that you ignore, all of a sudden you see its importance. Amen? There's going to be times, there's going to be crops that are not going to be grown, there's going to be levels of starvation all over this world in times to come. Just because of global warming, 2 degrees. Amen? But it's nothing new. We're sleeping through it. But even in the Bible, when Jesus Christ was going to be born, they slept through it. They foretold of his birth all the way back in the Old Testament. People still didn't believe it. If you have your Bibles, turn it to Michael. Michael, the 5th chapter, the 2nd verse. It says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old. From ancient times. The passage that I just read was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit given to the prophet Michael. Michael was a contemporary of Isaiah. He was writing shortly before the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians. He was prophesying what would happen. You see, God had told him and to go tell the Israelites what was going to happen so they could be prepared and to trust God. But he not only told them the bad news, but he told them the good news that one day their captivity would end. And one day the Messiah would come. And one day he would deliver and he would rule. And Michael was very specific in his prophecy of the coming Messiah. He said, out of you, Bethlehem, will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel. His origins are from old, ancient times. The one who is eternal, God himself, will come as the Messiah. He will enter into this world in Bethlehem. Now, many times we are told and somebody tells us something and we pay it no attention. It goes right by the board. Michael told the Israelites that this Messiah that you've been waiting for, this Messiah that you've been looking for, he's going to come out of Bethlehem. The Israelites, they understood this prophecy, and they always talked about the coming of the Messiah. In Matthew, the second chapter, we see the wise men seeing that the star was lit, and they was asking the king, King Herod, where is he who was born king of the Jews? When Herod heard that, he called all the leaders and the scholars together and asked them, where is this Christ to be born? The Jewish leaders at the time, they referred back to Michael 5 and 2. And they said, he who will be born out of Bethlehem. He will come from me who will be ruler over Israel. His origins are from old, from ancient times. Now, that prophecy is about 700 years before the birth of Christ. So for 700 years, at least, they knew that Christ was coming and he would be born in Bethlehem. Amen? But when we read the scripture and we look at Luke, the second chapter, and we go verses 4 through 7, it reads, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped them in cloths and placed them in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So now you have the Jewish leaders of the time. For 700 years, they've been waiting for this Messiah to come out of Bethlehem. And all of a sudden, this guy named Joseph is coming, and he has this woman that's pregnant that they know they have no idea who she is. But they were looking for the deliverer. They were looking for the Savior. They were looking for the Son of Man. They were looking for the Son of God. They knew that he would come into this town. But they were asleep when he came in. Many times we're looking for God to deliver us. We're looking for the Son of Man. We're looking for our Lord to free us from something, to just feel his presence. And many times we're asleep when he comes in. The Israelites were looking for the one who would free them from the oppression, the one that would come into Bethlehem to begin his work, the one who would finally bring salvation and make his first appearance in Bethlehem. Now you would have thought that they would have made preparations for that day. You would have thought that they would have had people standing on the walls waiting to see somebody come in looking like the Messiah, somebody looking like they're going to give birth to somebody, but they didn't. They were asleep while it was happening. This was the most significant occasion in the history of Jewish people, in the history of the world. Just think about it. Every New Year's Eve, people are standing around, thousands of people in Times Square, thousands of people all around the world waiting for a ball to drop, to usher in a new year. Yet, when the Messiah came, there was nobody waiting. They knew what God said was going to come, but they didn't take it seriously. We today know what God said is going to come because it's written in His Word, and we don't take it seriously. I use examples of people's ages today because the Scripture says no one knows. No one knows. You're making plans for next week. You're not making plans for 2019. But the Scripture tells me that no one knows. But when the Scripture says that no one knows, it seems to me there should be a level of preparation. Because it's going to happen to me, to you, and everybody that we know. You would think that they would be watching just for a glimpse of the coming Messiah. You would think that they would have a place for him to rest. But the Bible says there was no room for them in the inn. The most significant event in their history, and they missed it. The event that they anticipated for 700 years, and it slipped in on them right under their nose. How many times has God blessed you and he just slide in there and bless you right under your nose? While you're looking this way for God to bless you, he slips in this way. And you're not even looking for it. But if you just close your eyes and don't look for it and say, God, I know that you're going to bless me. If you have that kind of faith, he's going to bless you. The prophecy of Michael, and it seems like they didn't even realize. Now, I have to tell you that all of these Israelites, the Jews, this is what they did. They studied the Old Testament. That is their Bible. That is their law. That is the ABCs of how they lived. That was their rule of thumb. How could you study this long? How could this be your rule of thumb? And you're waiting for the Messiah, and he comes, and you don't recognize it. The Messiah was born in the night, and they slept right through it. The Messiah came as prophesied by Isaiah. He said his birth and his name signified that God would live among men. The name Emmanuel, God is with us. Isaiah prophesied that he would signify the establishment of the kingdom of God. And they slept right through it. He was prophesied by Michael that his birth would be in Bethlehem. And he would give Israel a new ruler. And they slept right through it. They said that his reign would not only bless Israel, but even the ends of the earth, and they slept right through it. The significance of Jesus' birth is that God dwelt among men. That God was right here in a human form with us. The Messiah came as promised. He came to Joseph. And his birth name, Jesus, signified salvation from sin. As promised, John the Baptist would later announce, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, I just want to stop right here for a second because I want to show you something about Joseph. You see, when the angels told Joseph that Mary was going to have a son, he didn't argue. He was confused. But he did what he was told. Amen? And as a result of being obedient, he was blessed. But when you look at Joseph's cousin-in-law, Martha's husband, the angel Gabriel came down and spoke to him and told him, because he was old, he was a prophet. He was old. Martha was old. And he said, "You're going to have a son. You're going to have a seed. And he's going to foretell the coming of Jesus. He's going to pave the way." He said, "I'm old." An angel said, "I'm going to shut your mouth until after. And then after that, after you see, then I'm going to open it." There is something that happens when we're disobedient to the Spirit. The Spirit told him that he was going to have a seed, but he didn't quite believe it. When the Spirit tells you something and you don't quite believe it, everything don't just happens the way you want it to happen. But see, when Joseph just did what he was told by the Spirit, he was blessed. The angels didn't have to shut his mouth. Sometimes we're running around here with our little disbelief, and God has got to shut our mouths because we're walking around influencing people that we shouldn't be influencing. He had been in the temple a long time, and people thought that, oh, got a word for us, because he was in the temple with God. But he came out and he couldn't talk. Jesus came to Mary because she didn't question it. When she was told that she was going to bear a son, she blessed the name of the Lord. She didn't know how it was going to be done, but she blessed the name of the Lord. And she was blessed, and she continued to be blessed throughout her life. Amen? To Mary, his birth and reign would fulfill the promise made to David. It would also fulfill the promise found in Daniel 2 and 44. And again, the significance of Jesus being born, it was that God was about to establish his kingdom promised by the prophets and the angels. He also came to save us from sin. For hundreds of years, prophets had told about the coming Messiah, but that was the defining moment that it was about to happen. Amen? Have you ever had a defining moment in your life and it just seems so surreal that you can't imagine that this is happening to me at this very moment? You're getting married and you're walking down that altar and all of a sudden it becomes very surreal to you that you're getting married, and that all of the things that you thought of before, this is it. The birth of a child. As you're going through the pregnancy, but that moment that that child is emerging, it becomes somewhat surreal because this is it. The moment that Jesus was born in Bethlehem was surreal Because this was it. The Messiah that had been promised was coming. But they slept on it. Now, I don't know about how you feel, but I think my wife would have been really mad with me if I slept through, if I was there and I slept through her having the baby. I think she would be a little annoyed. But Jesus already knew what he was going to have to go through. He knew that he wasn't going to come in with any fanfare. He already knew that he was going to be despised, rebuked, and they were going to try to kill him. He already knew that because he's God. He set the stage up for all of this to happen. Jesus came as proclaimed by the angels. His birth was presented to the world as a Savior and the Lord. It offered peace and goodwill to all men. His birth came as it was proclaimed by Simeon, who said that his birth would result in giving light to the Gentiles and glory to Israel. It was proclaimed by Anna, and she, like many others, are always looking for the redemption of something else from the Savior outside of redemption from sin. That's a big one. We are always looking for something else from the Savior outside of redemption from sin. But he came to save us from sin. He didn't come to save us from nothing else. He really didn't make that promise. He knew that we would go through things, but he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And that we can go through all things because he would strengthen us. You see, the birth and the significance of Jesus made all of these things possible because it was the establishment of the kingdom. It was redemption and salvation for both Jew and Gentile. It was peace and goodwill towards all men, and it was the revelation and the judgment of men's heart. But it did not end there because it had to go to the other chapter of his life, where there was pain and there was suffering. And when you look back over the results of Jesus' birth, you should ask yourself what they wrote in Acts 2 and 36. It says, he came to be my Lord and Savior, to save me from sins and reign as king in my heart. Have I fulfilled the significance of his birth by responding to the significance of his death and resurrection? Have you responded to the significance of his death and resurrection? So there are three significant events in your life that have eternal consequences. The Bible makes it clear that these three events will happen. So we can ignore it, or we can prepare for it. Just like the Israelites, God will reveal these three events to you, and he's clear about them. But you have to decide what approach to these events will be. You can take God seriously and be prepared, or you can choose to completely ignore God's word and sleep right through them. You can say that all the Bible and everything that goes on is fake news. You can say that the Bible is just a book written and it's an entertainment book. You can just say that the Bible was written by men and it has a lot of books in it and it has some good moral value to it. You can say that. Or you can say that this book is written by the under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Men who were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit wrote this. Amen? So here's three significant events that God's word has given to each and every one of us. that in this so-called holiday season, or whatever is politically correct, you can call it whatever you want. But there's no reason that we should have a doubt why we have Christmas. The world wants to change it to everything else. But make no mistake in your mind that the reason why we have Christmas is because Christ came into the world. And that this Jewish Messiah is also your Messiah. Make no mistake that God stepped off of his throne to come into the world to deliver mankind. So on that first Christmas night, God entered into his own creation to save its own creation from its own self. He came to save you from you. It is significant because he came for you. He came for me, but he came for you. And he came for you. It is also significant that he came that we might have hope. Because without him, we have no hope. We are hopeless. He came that we might be free. He came that we might be delivered. Without Christ, there's no deliverance. Without him, there's no freedom. Is there a reason why we were under the law? There's no freedom under the law. Matter of fact, when they want to put you in constraints, what do they put you under? Martial law. When you thought you were free to do something and it didn't agree with the law, they took you to court. They put you in jail. But there is freedom in Christ. Only because he broke the law. He destroyed the law. He made the law insignificant. That is a significant event in your life, number one, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that God came in the flesh. Significant event in your life, number two, is that little baby born in Bethlehem died on the cross and rose the third day. Don't you know that he came to deliver you from yourself? Then he came to die for you on the cross. And because he died for you on the cross, he could promise you eternal life. But see, he had to rise again. Because somebody can't promise you something that they ain't got. I'm going to say that again. Somebody can't promise you something that they don't have. He has eternal life already. He died and rose again. And he's telling you, I can promise that to you. Nobody else can promise that to you. But I can promise it to you. I did it. If he didn't die on the cross and rise again, there's nothing, there's no substance to what he said. You know that prophet Muhammad? Good moral teachings, but there's no substance to what he said. You know old big fat Buddha that has all these wise sayings that they try to give you in the cookies, fortune cookies you get at the Chinese place. It sounds good, some real good moral teaching. But there's no substance to it. And you say, but I can live a good life. Yes, you can. But living a good life don't get you to heaven. You must repent. And let me tell you something else about Buddha and the Chinese fortune cookies. He gives you a saying on one side and gives you numbers on the other. Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave. You see, somebody had to pay for your sin and mine. It's going to cost us something. No matter, have you ever done something that's never cost you anything? That four-letter word that begins with an F? Yeah, free. I don't know what y'all was thinking, but I mean free. There's nothing that's free. Salvation is free. It still costs you something, but it's free. If you're smart, you can pay for it one time, and you don't have to pay for it no more. You don't have to re-up every year. It's not something that you got to pay your annual dues for. There's no monthly payments on it. You can't go on a payment plan. Your check won't bounce. It's not going to hit your credit card and you don't even know it hit it. You could do it one time. Just one time. You see, Jesus, he only did it one time and he got it right. He came down in our human form, died on the cross, and rose the third day. He did it one time. He didn't have to keep doing it until he got it right. Sometimes that get me. People say, well, you know, I'm going to keep doing it until I get it right. You can get it right one time. If you pay attention and it's significant enough, you can get it right just one time. But see, we like to know, and we tend to think that we're going to keep getting chance after chance after chance after chance. All I know is you're guaranteed one chance. When you hear the word, that's your chance. Jesus Christ came down here in human form, knowing that he was going to die, knowing that he was going to be rebuked, knowing that he was going to be spit on, knowing that he was going to be tortured for you and for me. That significant event in your life, number two. His significant event in your life, number three. Now, the Bible tells us accurately that the Messiah came. Before I get to that, I want you to know his name is Jesus. Can you say Jesus?
Jesus.
No, can you say Jesus?
Jesus.
That's his name. And I'm saying that because we say Jesus Christ. But Jesus is his name. The Christ means that he's the Messiah. He is the anointed one. Amen? So you can tell an anointed one. He's the Messiah. But he ain't the Messiah. He ain't the Messiah. But Jesus, because they used that name Jesus a lot back then. But everybody wasn't Jesus Christ. People use that name today. They say call it Jesus. Spelled the same way. But they ain't the Messiah. They ain't Jesus Christ. Now, I know sometimes when you're little, you think your name is Jesus Christ because they keep calling you that when you do something. Jesus Christ. But you're not Jesus Christ. Anyway, the third significant thing that's going to happen in your life is that Jesus Christ is going to return for his own. for his own. The Messiah is telling us and has told us that he's coming back one more time. And he's not coming back as a little baby again. He's not coming back in Bethlehem again. He's not going to be in a manger in a cow trough where they eat, pigs eat, and all. He's not coming back like that no more. And he's not coming back to be ignored and looked over again. The Bible says that he's coming back as the king. He's coming back to rule. He's coming back for his people and his people only. That should be significant to you. Because whether you believe it or not, if you don't repent and you don't trust in him, your life is going to be spent in hell. And you will be eternally separated from the Messiah. Now, it might not be significant to you, but if you don't repent and trust in him, he's never going to take you home to be with him forever. So while it's insignificant, and people are sleeping on this, especially during this season, let us not be like those that were sleeping when he was born. So in my research, I found this song that says, "While You Were Sleeping." And I'm going to read the lyrics to you. It says, "O little town of Bethlehem, looks like another silent night. Above your deep and dreamless sleep, a giant star lights up the sky. And while you're lying in the dark, there shines an everlasting light. For the king has left his throne and is sleeping in a manger tonight. Oh, Bethlehem, what you have missed while you were sleeping. For God became a man and stepped into your world today. Oh, Bethlehem, you will go down in history as a city with no room for its king while you were sleeping. Mary shivers in the cold, trying to keep the Savior warm, born among the animals wrapped in dirty rags, because there was no room for him in the world he came to save. United States of America looks like another silent night, and we're sung to sleep by philosophies that save the trees and kill the children. And while we're lying in the dark, there's a shot heard around the eastern sky. For the bridegroom has returned and carried his bride away in the night, in the night. America, what will we miss while we were sleeping? Will Jesus come again and leave us slumbering where we lay? America, we will go down in history as a nation with no king, with no room for its king. Will we be sleeping? Will we be sleeping? United States of America looks like another silent night." The people in Bethlehem knew that he was coming, and they ignored it. They didn't take it seriously, and they slept right through the most important event that will ever happen in the world's history. What you know, what has happened, Jesus came. And Jesus died on that cross and rose from the dead. You know what's going to happen. He's already written it in Scripture. You see the signs of the times. You see it in the tsunamis. You see it in the weather. You see it in the atrocities that are happening to Christians. You see it in nations against nations, wars and rumors of wars. You see it, you hear it. Are you preparing yourself for the return of Christ? Or are you sleeping right through the events that are going through right now? The most significant events of your life. Let us stand this morning.